Last week I talked about faith. Somebody say faith. Faith in God and His ability to do, and faith in His Word. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There's about six things that I shared with the people last week concerning faith, but I don't want to rehearse all that this week. I want you to go and listen to the entire message. You can go and download or listen to the message from the sermon audio, amen. But there's at least one thing that I'd like to highlight before I get into today's message that we shared on last week, amen. And that thing is this, our faith. Somebody say our faith. Our faith in God and in His Word oftentimes has to be perfected. P-R-F-E-C-T-E-D. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And when we look up the Greek definition of the word perfected, it means to be thoroughly complete. It also means to be repaired or adjusted. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So sometimes we took away from that. Sometimes our faith is not complete.
All right.
And through the settings where the word goes forth, God continuously build our faith so that our faith can be where He desires it to be, in Him or His ability to do, and in His Word. Amen.
Amen.
And then sometimes our faith is just a little bit off track. Or sometimes it could be a lot off track. Somebody say amen. And God would, through the preaching and teaching of the Word, allow that faith to be adjusted or and repaired in the areas that God desired to be adjusted and or repaired in. Amen.
Amen.
So always listen to hear what God might be tweaking your belief in Him,
mm-hmm,
or your belief or and your belief in His Word. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Because we all can grow in faith. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
Somebody say amen again.
Amen.
And that's all I want to share from last week's message. Amen. Today, let me just say this. Occasionally, just about everything that I teach, preach, impact me in a big way. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The last big impactful message that I preached that impacted me in a big way was the messages on the healing of the soul. You remember those messages? On making the soul whole. Amen. I walked away from those messages with a new determination. I walked away with this determination, not to be broken in any area of my life.
Yeah, all right.
My wife can attest to this. Right after those messages, I went to the psychologist to get myself adjusted in some areas. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And then the other thing I determined, and I've got adjusted, and I was holding some things, like Joshua was talking about this morning, I was holding some things against her. You do know it's possible for you to be holding things against your spouse.
Oh, yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I was holding some things against her. I went to the psychologist, and that don't mean I'm crazy. It just mean I need to be adjusted. Somebody say amen. Can I throw this out here? Some of you all need to be adjusted too. Amen. Somebody say amen. I went to the psychologist and got a little adjustment. Then I was on my knees. Well, not on my knees, because I don't normally get on my knees. I got a chair that I sit in and I pray. But I was praying, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, let it go. Somebody say,
let it go.
I obeyed the Holy Ghost, and my life hadn't been the same. Amen. So I was broken in some places in my life. One, I went to be adjusted. You need to hear me. And two, after the adjustment, I talked to the Lord, and the Lord said, let it go. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And the second thing that I determined to do after those messages was not to hurt anybody anymore. Amen.
Yes.
So I try my best,
yes, yeah,
not to hurt anybody with my actions.
Yes.
And I try even deeper not to hurt individuals with my mouth.
Yes.
Sometimes I hear some things about to come out of my mouth, and I'll take a minute and I will readjust in my mind how to say those things so that I won't say those things in a hurtful way. Amen. And then I'm thinking to say some things that I just decide not to say because I can't think of a way to say them that wouldn't hurt. Amen. I want to be whole in all that I do. Amen.
Yeah.
And then I start working out because I wanted my health to be whole. Amen.
Yeah.
I just want to be healthy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Start eating a little differently because I just want to be healthy. I don't want to be broken in any areas of my life. Amen. Because like the prophet said, it's God's will for us to be whole.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen. He sent Jesus so that we can be whole in every area, spirit, soul, and body, every area of our lives. But we have to determine within ourselves, we will be whole. Somebody say amen. So that was one group of messages that impacted me in a great way. And today, what I'm about to share in my study impacted me in a great way, amen. I really realize that I'm trying to deal with the supernatural God on a natural level, amen.
Right.
I really realized that I was thinking that God would work through my process or man-made processes to get supernatural things done in the earth realm. And I found out that he don't always do it that way, amen. So the message that I'm about to share, you should just take today. But if it takes more than a day, indulge me to do it for more than a day, amen. Because we need to understand who we're dealing with when we deal with God, amen. And we need to understand how he deals with us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So today I want to talk about the unconventional God.
All right.
The unconventional God. Now, I'm going to endeavor to do at least three things. I'm going to give you some definitions of the term unconditional so that you can be on the same page with us concerning unconventional. I'm going to give you some scenarios where God has done some things in some unconventional ways from the scripture. And then I'm going to give you some takeaways. Somebody say takeaways.
Takeaway.
I want you to listen to the whole message. But I really want you to horn in on the takeaways. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So again, I want to talk about the unconditional God. Somebody, not unconditional, but unconventional. He is unconditional in love, but I want to talk about the unconventional God. Somebody say amen. Well, let's start today by defining the word unconventional. Goodness gracious. The term unconventional is defined as one, not bound by or conforming to convention, rule, or precedent. Not bound by or conformed to convention, rule, or precedent. We'll make that simple. In God's dealing with us in the earth realm, he's not bound by any man-made processes or any man-made rules or any way that man think that he should work in our lives. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I mentioned a couple of two or three. It is. Well, hold on, y'all. I got to minister to my wife. Amen. I shall be back. Amen. Now, the only other option I got is to, hold you in my arms. And if I hold you in my arms, this message might not get out. Amen. 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 So, number one, did you say something, Princess? The term unconditional. Unconventional. Thank you, Pat.
Larry
too, amen. Means not bound by or conforming to convention, rule, or precedent. The word convention being defined as a custom or practice approved by general rule or based on common consent, amen. So God don't have to be governed by, here again, the man-made things that we think that he should be governed by in the earth realm, amen. The word conventionality means a conventional custom, practice, or rule, amen. And then the term conventional being defined as, I was going to tell you, don't try to take notes today. You need to listen to this message later, amen. It's defined as depending on conventions or customary. It also means of the usual type or design that's commonly used or seen, amen. So in essence, again, God, being unconventional, doesn't have to follow any man-made prototypes or any man-made processes to get anything done or his will done in the earth realm. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now I want to move to some unconventional scenarios that are true in the Bible to help us to see how unconventional our God is. Amen.
All right.
The first unconventional scenario that I would like to look at as it relates to God being unconventional is the parting of the Red Sea.
Come on now.
The parting of the Red Sea. Now, I'm going to share with you some facts about the parting of the Red Sea because I don't want you to think that the Red Sea was like a puddle of mud in your backyard with some water in it. And you can go stumping it like this and divide the water, amen. Because that wasn't the situation, amen. When we look at the Red Sea, we need to understand about four or five facts about the Red Sea. Number one, the Red Sea was about 1,300 miles long, or about 1,300 miles in length. The Red Sea was also about 195 miles in width. As it relates to its depthness, it was 9,500 feet deep. So when I say that, who said the Lord ain't no joke? The Lord ain't no joke, amen. So when the Lord parted the Red Sea, he wasn't dealing with a mud puddle, amen. He was dealing with something awesome, amen. 1,300 miles is farther than from here to California, amen. If you drove to California, it'd take you about 3 days. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you walked the width of the Red Sea, which was 195 miles long, nonstop, it would take you about 3.4 days to do that, amen. But we're going to see that God parted the Red Sea in one night. Okay, he either did it lengthwise or widthwise. But he parted the Red Sea in one night. Over 1 million folks went through the Red Sea, 1 million plus, after he departed or divided the Red Sea. And then Pharaoh and his army tried to come in and chase the children of Israel even through the Red Sea. And he destroyed all the whole army of Pharaoh. Pharaoh, the chariots, the horsemen, everything, amen. And he did this in one night. Somebody say one night.
One night.
Now what would happen if man decided that they wanted to divide the Red Sea so that people could walk through, amen? It is possible. I knew somebody was going to say it wasn't possible, amen. But it is possible. Somebody say amen. You ever seen a dam? That's man corralling water, amen. You ever seen levees? That's man corralling water, amen. But before they can divide the Red Sea where people can travel through, first they got to call in the engineers. Yeah. Then the engineers got to study. And they got to come up with a way to divide it, amen. And then after they come up with the way to divide it, they have to call in the big machinery, amen. Somebody say amen. After they call in the big machinery, they got to figure out how to get a wall down 9,500 feet, even above the water, so that they can separate the water, amen. And then they got to figure out how to stop the water from running this way in order to put another wall on the other side to retain the water on that side so that they can allow people to go through. Amen. And by the time they get done with all that, it's going to be 2 or 3 years. Amen. Somebody say amen. But God parted the Red Sea in one night. Amen. One night he parted the Red Sea and over 1 million Israelites plus went through the Red Sea. That's unconventional. Amen. Here's the story. Here's the story quickly. I'm going to give you a story quickly. God had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, from the hands of Pharaoh. God allowed them to go into the wilderness, because if he would have allowed them to go through the Philistine area, they would have had to fight, and maybe they would have got discouraged and wanted to go back to Egypt. Amen. So they went through the wilderness. Amen. Pharaoh and his folks let them go. Somebody say, let them go. Pharaoh and the boys got to thinking, man, we let all this free labor go. We got to go get this free labor back. Somebody say free labor back. God hardened Pharaoh's heart, which means he caused Pharaoh to rebel against his plan. What was God's plan for the children of Israel? To get them to the promised land. When he allowed them, or allowed Pharaoh to rebel, or his heart to get hardened, they went chasing the Israelites. Somebody say amen. Amen. When the Israelites saw them chasing them, they got afraid. Someone told Moses, why do you bring us out here in the wilderness to die? Wasn't there enough graves over in Egypt for us to die over there? They cried out to the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses. He said, Moses, what you got in your hand?
Come on now. Yes,
Moses had a rod. Somebody say a rod. Same rod that that God had allowed him to do miracles with prior to them getting to the Red Sea. God told him, Moses, to stretch it out. Somebody say, stretch it out. Now, I need to tell you that it takes an act of faith.
Yeah.
It takes an act of faith to get anything from the Lord, but it takes an act of faith to be in a dilemma such as that. And hear God say, stretch out a stick in your hand. And don't turn around and say, God, what's a stick going to do when all these folks behind us and this Red Sea is in front of us? Amen. But Moses didn't say none of that. He stretched out the Red Sea. He stretched out the rod. And God did the rest. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's prove this right quick, and I need to move on to another. Exodus chapter 14. Verse number 21. See, sometimes we hear these biblical stories so much until we get desensitized to them. Amen. We don't understand the vastness in what God has done because we hear these stories so much. Amen. So you start talking about the part of the Red Sea. I heard that so many times. That ain't no big deal. Yes, it was a big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. And it helps us to understand how our God deals with us in the earth realm. Verse number 21. The Bible says, then Moses stretched out it. Yes, sir, I'll do that. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to what? Go back by a what? Strong east wind. How long?
All that night.
Just one night.
Come on, pal.
And made the sea what?
Dry.
And the waters did what?
Divide.
They were divided. Next verse. I don't believe all that. You ought to believe it. Amen. Because God did it. Amen. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on what? The dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Amen. 1,300 miles long.
Yeah.
195 miles wide. 9,500 feet deep. God split it up. And over 1 million plus people, plus Pharaoh and his army, were 1 million plus people went over on dry land, and Pharaoh and his army got drowned in the Red Sea. Amen. That's unconventional. Unconventional scenario number two. The wall of Jericho.
All right.
Joshua chapter 6. Now, I'm going to give you some facts about Jericho wall, so that you won't think that the wall that they shouted and it came down is not like a wall in your house. You know, we look at ACTV, they just take that sludge hammer and go through that wall. Amen. You could not take a sludge hammer. Well, yeah, I guess you could, but it would have taken a long time to take a sludge hammer to go through the wall of Jericho. Some facts. Somebody say facts. Actually, the wall of Jericho was two walls. History says. One of the walls, and the walls were up to protect Jericho. Jericho was up on a hill. It wasn't very easy to get to Jericho. But one of the walls was 6 feet thick. You lay me down on the floor, I'm almost about 6 feet tall. That's how thick the first wall was. The second wall was about 12 feet thick. You lay me down on the floor three times, add me up, that's about the thickness of the wall. The wall was so thick until houses were built on the wall. As a matter of fact, you remember Rahab? Rahab the harlot who housed the spies who came into the land and spied out the land before Israel went in, she lived on the wall. As a matter of fact, when they got to spy out the land, she hid them, she let them down the wall and allowed them to go out in the wilderness and hide until the folks went out there to get them and couldn't find them and came back. Amen. I've also heard, but I couldn't find this in my study, I've heard they used to have chariot races on that wall. Somebody say amen. Amen. Not just any wall, but a very thick wall. After I found out how thick the walls were, I was a little curious about what they used to build the walls. I couldn't find out the height of the walls, but what I found out was they used baked mud to make bricks to build a wall. Amen. Now, conventionally, not unconventionally, if man wanted to tear down that wall because it was up on a hill, they would have had to build a ramp, get some other type of devices once they build the ramp to work on that wall and tear that wall down. God is not conventional. God told the Israelites, march around the wall, one march at a time for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around the wall seven times. And after the Levites blow the horn, I want you to shout. And guess what's going to happen? The wall come tumbling down. Amen. What it would have taken man, I don't know how long to do, God did it in seven days. Amen. Now, some of us believe that the shout brought the wall down. I don't believe the shout about the wall. That's because we shout down strongholds. We shout down walls because we believe that the shout brought the wall down. I don't believe the shout brought the wall down. If you read in chapter 5, the last few verses of chapter 5, Joshua chapter 5, you'll see that the commander of the army of the Lord showed up. And that commander of the army of the Lord is Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. Amen.
Yeah, all right.
When Joshua saw the commander of the army of the Lord, he said, are you with us or are you against us?
Yeah.
And then the commander said, I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
And then Joshua bowed down. Amen.
Yes, that's it.
Now, this was just before the wall came down. Amen. Now, I believe that the army of the Lord showed up to bring the wall down when Israel acted in obedience to the word. Amen. I believe that the army was there when they shouted. The commander said, tear the wall down. Amen. And the wall came tumbling down. Check this. In our minds, we probably saw a wall crumbling. Or a wall falling, you know, like the pieces like that. The Bible says that the wall fell flat. It means everything on the wall went down with the wall, amen. And the children of Israel went in and got everything that they were supposed to get There are some things that were cursed, which means that they were doomed to destruction. One dude named Achan took some, and the rest is history. He caused Israel a lot of trouble when he did that, amen. But the wall came down, they went in and did God's business like he desired them to do it, amen. Unconventional, somebody say unconventional. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, conventionally, you know, man could throw the wall down, but it would have took some work to do it. We just had to shout, and the wall came down. Y'all get any unconventional ways of God? Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a man by the name, I call him Naaman, because he had two A's in his name, amen. Some folks call him Naaman. He was a commander of the, or captain of the Syrian army. He had leprosy. Somebody say leprosy. During that time, leprosy was an incurable skin disease. Amen. Now, in the Gentile nation, they did not cast the people who had leprosy. So Naaman was able to continue to work. Somebody say work. While Naaman was commanding the army or being the captain over the army, there was a young Israelite girl who came in, and she was serving him. I guess she looked at Naaman one day too long with all those sores all over him, and she told him, look, I know a man in Israel by the name of Elisha, and he can heal you of that leprosy. So Naaman decided to listen to the girl, and they went down to Jerusalem so that Elisha could heal Naaman. Naaman got there, knocked on the door, and told, you know, the story that the girl had told him that the prophet Elisha could heal him, amen. Elijah didn't even come to the door to say nothing to him. Elijah just said, go down to the Jordan and dip 7 times in the water, and you're going to come up whole. The old commander of the army got mad. He said, at least he could have came to the door and spoke to me, amen. And all these clean rivers over in Syria, he going to send me down to this muddy water river, amen, and tell me to dip 7 times. I ain't going to do it. Somebody got in his ear, man, and said, man, if he would have told you to do something hard, you would have done that, amen. So why don't you just go dip in the water and see what happens, amen. So Naaman went down to the muddy water. Sores all over his body. Dipped in the muddy water 7 times because the Lord's prophet said that was for him to do. Amen. And once he dipped the 7th time, he came up. And the Bible says that his skin was like baby skin. Conventionally, say conventionally. You know, you go to the doctor with a skin disease, they got to do x-rays, take blood work, consult with other doctors, etc. And it would have taken a while by the time they really found out what to give you, and you still might not have been cured. Amen. God, with his unconventional self, told the dude to go dip in muddy water 7 times. And the guy was made whole. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Do you see the unconventionalness of God in this? Amen. Let's go up to the Gospels. Luke chapter 1. Y'all ever heard of Mary? The mother of Jesus? Did y'all see how she conceived? Now, conventionally, in order for a woman to conceive a child, one, there has to be sexual intercourse. Well, she has to have sex with a man. Now, that was God's process. That was God's way of bringing children into the world. Amen. So let me throw this out parenthetically before I even get to the rest of what I'm going to say. God will sometimes break his own process or go around his own process in order to get some things done in the earth realm. Amen. So in order for a woman to have a baby, there has to be sexual intercourse. And even before that, there has to be a period. She has to have a cycle because there has to be blood in her womb to be able to supply blood to the child after she is impregnated. Amen.
That's right.
And even before that, she has to be ovulating. When she ovulates, during the ovulation process, the egg is released through the fallopian tube, and the egg is ready for the man to have intercourse with the woman, release the sperm fertilizes the egg becomes a child after a 9-month or maybe a 10-month period, amen. That was the natural process of a woman conceiving a child and a child coming into the world. Look at our unconventional God. When God got ready to bring Jesus in the world, amen, he bypassed all that, amen. Luke chapter 1. I need to read this. Luke chapter 1. Is this making sense to you? Luke chapter 6, verse number, where are you? 35. Luke chapter 1, I meant verse number 35. Did I say 6?
Yes.
You follow good instructions, Jerry. Amen. If you would have messed up, I would. No, anyway. Now, we know the story that the angel, or some of us do, the angel, and Lisa helped me with that, because, you know, preachers say, well, you know the story, and everybody don't always know the story. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you read prior to that, you'll understand that Gabriel, say Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Gabriel, who was in the presence of the Lord always, was sent by God to tell Mary that she was highly favored of the Lord. If Gabriel show up at your house, you need to listen, amen. Because he's going to have a word from the Lord, amen, that you need to know. Somebody say amen. You know, if you read before the story of Mary, you know, Zachariah had a little problem with Gabriel, amen. And he wanted to know how him and his wife was going to have a baby, and they were old. And Gabriel said, look, man, I'm Gabriel, amen. I'm in the presence of God all the time. This is me fixing it up a little bit, amen. If I tell you God's going to do something, you need to know God's going to do it, amen. Because Zachariah couldn't believe God shut his mouth. So he wouldn't speak against the word of God because John the Baptist was important. He had to come into the world to be the forerunner of Christ. Somebody say amen. So the angel Gabriel visited Mary, told Mary that she was going to have a baby. Mary asked the question, well, you know, how can I do this and I've never been with a man? And Gabriel told her what I'm getting ready to read to you. And she didn't argue with him at all. She said to Gabriel, let it be to me according to God's word, amen.
Amen, amen.
And it was. Somebody said it was. The Bible says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit. This is how you're going to get pregnant, amen. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will what? Overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called who? The Holy One that you're going to be carrying, that you're going to give birth to in Bethlehem, in a manger because there was no room in the inn. His name will be called the Son of God. All she had to do was believe, and guess what? It happened. Somebody said it happened. Let me just throw this in parenthetically. That's the thing that we need to understand about our God. Some things God will tell you to do, you have to do something in order to get it done. Amen. There are other things he will tell you that he's going to do. All you need to do is believe and wait on it to happen. Amen. Somebody say amen. That's the unconventionality of our God. Somebody say amen. And the reason why I had so much problems with seeing him in his unconventionality is, or one reason is because I'm performance based. You know, God tell me he's going to do something, I think I got to do something to make it happen. We do that because we're performance based. We have to work to get money. We have to do other things to make other things happen, et cetera, et cetera. But with God, in his unconventionalness, we don't always have to do anything but believe. Somebody say believe. Go down to like verse number 45. I think it's 45. And see, God tell me he's going to do something over this side of town. That's, I thought I had to work to get it done. Amen. No, you just got to believe. Somebody said believe. Verse number 45. Listen, this is after, you know, Mary was pregnant. Zechariah's wife, which was Elizabeth, came to visit her. Both of them were pregnant at the same time. When Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, came in to meet Mary, the baby leaked in her womb. So on and so forth, amen. But listen to what she said to Mary. She said, blessed is she who what?
Believe.
Somebody said believe.
Believe.
For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Somebody said from the Lord.
From the Lord.
So what does she have to do in order for the things to be fulfilled?
Believe.
Just believe. I remember God told, what's that guy, Jay Iris? Well, he was on his way to heal Jay Iris' daughter. And he encountered a woman with an issue of blood. She held him up for a while. While he was held up, somebody from Jay Iris' house came and said, don't trouble the master any longer. Your daughter has what? Died. Jesus turned to Jay Iris and said, only believe. Amen. Jay Iris believed. Jesus went to his house, raised his daughter up, and the rest is what? We just got to learn to believe what he says. So our God is what? Unconventional. Say unconventional.
Unconventional.
About seven things I want to tell you real quick that you need to remember about God. Number one. Miracles define who God is. Miracles define who God is. He is a miracle-working God. Let me just throw this in. If you try to put him on your level or try to get him to work through all of your natural processes in order to receive a miracle from him, chances are you'll never get the miracle.
Come on now.
Because again, he don't always work through our processes. He don't need a precedent to do anything, amen. What that simply means, he don't need an example to do nothing,
amen.
He can do whatever he wants to do, even though he don't do everything that he wants to do, but he can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he desires to do it,
amen.
Number two, miracles are natural to God, but they are supernatural to us. Had a guy drop by here the other day. He came by to see me. He dropped me a piece of money in my hand. I put it in my pocket. He said, Pastor, I'm just doing what I do. Just doing what I do. And I went and spent it yesterday. Amen. Somebody say amen. He said, I'm just doing what I do. When you think about God and miracles, just think about the fact that God, when he work a miracle, he's just doing what he does. He's just doing what he does. Is this boring you?
No.
Number three. To think like God. I'm always praying, Lord, I want to tell God, I want to think like you. I want to think like you. I want to see things the way that you see things. To think like God is to think unconventionally or out of the realm of the natural or natural process. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to think like God, you can't think 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 1 in God's economy of things might equal 5,000. Amen.
Yeah.
Because he's not bound to our processes. Amen.
Yeah.
My pastor heard him preach the other day basically about getting God out of the box. Amen. God thinks above the line. Amen. We think below the line. Amen. If we, yes, right here. If we're going to think like God, we got to think unconventionally. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8. So when God tells me he's going to make me rich, I can't think that it can only come through me investing. I can't think it can only come through me saving. I can't think that it can only come to me by somebody putting a piece of money in my hand. He can do it any way he wants to do it. Amen.
Yeah.
Because he's unconventional. Say unconventional.
Unconventional.
Listen to what the scripture says. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
That's right. That's right.
He says, for nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
This is what he says next. Verse number 9. For as The heavens are higher than the earth. Do you know how far? The distance between the heavens and the earth. Amen. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. So if we're going to think like God, we got to think unconventionally. We got to think like the scripture says we ought to think. Amen. I mean, some of us think that God can't fix your husband. God can't fix your wife. God can fix anybody who will submit to his fixing. Amen. So if we're going to think like God, we got to think that there's nothing too God hard for God. Amen. And that all things are possible with God. Amen. Or there's nothing that's impossible with God. Amen. I can't get this, Pastor. It's because we're thinking on the natural plane. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number four. God is unconventional in his thinking, and we can see his unconventional thinking through his actions.
All right.
The parting of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
The coming down to the walls of Jericho. Naaman being healed. Mary conceiving a baby. Jesus feeding 5,000 plus with two fish and five loaves of bread, amen.
Yeah.
Jesus feeding 4,000 plus with seven loaves of bread and two and a few fishes, amen. Yeah. Jesus sending a man down to the river and told him to reach into the river and the first fish come up, reach your hand in his mouth, take out some money and go pay your taxes and my taxes. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Jesus is unconventional, amen.
Yeah.
God is unconventional. And if we're going to do some of the things that he desires to do, we got to first recognize that he is unconventional. And he might tell us to do something that's unconventional to get his will done. Amen. Case in point. He tells me every Tuesday to go out there on that property in Gardendale and just say what he told me. Amen. We are. What did he say? We are. Now, Lord, why are you letting me forget? Because I do it every Tuesday. It ain't Tuesday, somebody said. Who said that? Somebody said it, amen. I say just what he tells me to say. He says that he's bringing us into the land. And I say, thank you that you're bringing us into the land, amen. Now, conventionally, I need to be down there hounding the bank and hounding the folks who got the property. Let it go. Bring the price down, et cetera, et cetera. Unconventionally, he just tell me to go out there and speak what he said, amen.
Right.
And I believe that in a few days it's going to come to pass. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
See, you know, we talk about the fact that God heals our faith, but he don't only hear our faith. The scripture says he sees our faith, amen.
Yeah.
So when we're doing what he tells us to do unconventionally, guess what? We're walking in faith, or we are in agreement with what God said, amen. When he sees us in agreement with him, we set our set up for him to bring to pass that thing which he has said that he will bring to pass, amen. And while I'm on that subject, we got to learn to tell folks what God is doing in our lives. All right, sister, you're going to think I'm picking on you, but I'm not picking on you. You didn't give me license to say what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. And if you get mad at me, I'll take you out to dinner and square it all up. Amen. I went talking to you. Tyria went to the doctor. And the doctor told her she had gallbladders. Gallstones. They want to take out her gallbladder. And so Tyria agreed to let them take out her gallbladder. One Sunday she came to the altar. We laid hands and prayed. And apparently the gallbladder situation dissipated. She went back to the doctor. And the doctor said, we don't have to do that surgery. Whatever was wrong is cleared up. Somebody say amen. Give God praise. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, she was talking to me.
And she said, you know that God bless surgery I had to have? I ain't got to have it. Maybe that oil that Earl put on me cleared it up. But it just came up. Do you remember I prayed for you and laid hands on you? That's when it got cleared up. I wasn't trying to dissipate nothing that Earl did by way of laying hands on with the oil, amen. But the situation was taken care of before then, amen. We got to see, we're doing things in the ministry as God desires us to do it, glory to God. Things are happening in the lives of people and you keeping your mouth closed, amen. And nobody really knows what God is doing in your life because of the fact you won't share it, amen. I decided to share it for you today, amen. Because when God does something special like that, how many folks you know that Joshua just said it today? Had the faith to be healed, God healed, amen. When God does something like that in our lives, we need to tell somebody. Because everybody needs to understand the power of the living God, amen. My time is up. I got two or three more things I need to tell you. Number five, God is the God of unconventional, is the God of the unconventional, the supernatural, that is above the natural, the miracle working God. You got that?
Yeah.
If you don't believe God worked a miracle in your life, why pray? If you don't think he's unconventional, why pray? Number six, a miracle or miracles is God's way of doing things or getting his will done in the earth. He can go through the natural process if he desires to go through the natural process, but he doesn't always do it that way. Even the gospel is supernatural. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, which means within the gospel is supernatural, miracle working power to get us saved. Amen. Number seven. The Bible. Somebody say the Bible. The Bible is God's way of doing things, not the natural way.
All right.
So when we read the Bible, now we need to stop looking at it as natural. But we need to start seeing the word of the Lord as what? Supernatural. I mean, you find the word of God that God speaks to you through his word and you stand on that word and don't doubt, guess what? There's some supernatural stuff that's going to happen in your life. What do I mean by supernatural? There's some things that God is going to do in your life that couldn't have been done naturally. Amen. You remember the prophet said this morning, there is no cure for his disease. Amen. Or for the disease that he had. But God, with his unconventional self, cured him to show who he is.
Yeah.
God. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So I understand that this message might not have gone across so well to you. Because this message was basically for me. We just allowed you to take a look at what God was dealing with us about. Amen. He is the pastor of the church.
Yes,
trying to lock God into our processes. God had to do the latter more with me, amen. He had to straighten it out, amen.
Come on, God.
You know, latter more, let's straighten it out, amen.
Yeah.
He had to straighten it out, amen. He had to help me to see that he's unconventional.
Yeah.
He don't need our processes to do nothing. As a matter of fact, you go all the way back to the book of Genesis and see how unconventional God is. Amen. You all right? You all right, baby? You all right? You got a scripture you want me to share from the Message Bible? All right. Okay. You go back to the book of Genesis. God spoke and things happening. Amen. That's unconventional. Amen. We do speak and certain things happen, but not on the scale that God spoke and made things happen. Amen.
Come on, help us.
That be like that was like. Let grass come up out of the ground without planting seeds. Guess what? They happen. And let trees come out of the ground with fruit on them. Guess what? Without seed being planted. Guess what? It happens. Unconventional.
Come on,
and if we're going to get in his ring, we got to think like he thinks. Amen.
Yeah.
Unconventional, amen. So God has straightened me out. And when he tells me to do something with my analytical self, I'm not going to try anymore to try to figure out how he's going to get it done. Amen. Brendan, I'm just going to know he's going to get it done. Amen. In his timing. Somebody say his timing. All I got to do is have faith and patience. Amen. So I encourage you as I close today.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
If you're like me, when God tells you he's going to do something. You know, God told me when he first started dealing with us about that building. He told me, stand still and know that I'm God. I've been working ever since, amen. Trying to make that happen, amen. And then I heard again, stand still and know that I'm God. Now that doesn't mean stop doing ministry, stop preaching, stop going to work, all that kind of stuff. That means as it relates to that situation, you take your hands off of it and let me take care of it, amen. You remember when Pastor Matthews was here, he said we need to get a revelation on the fact that God will fight our battles for us if we don't try to fight them, amen. We gotta know that our God is unconventional, amen. So the only thing I do about that property out there now is what God tells me to do in real time, amen. Because he is God. There's nothing too hard for him.
He is God.
Whatever he says he's going to do, he is going to get it done. Amen. And now I understand now. That was two nouns, wasn't it? Now I understand why sometimes it takes him so long to get something done. Don't mean it ain't already done. It's us in his way. Amen. It's us in his way with unbelief. Or it's us in his way trying to make things happen, amen. When he told you he was going to get it done, amen. He told you he was going to snatch your baby out of the fire, and there you are trying to snatch him out. Why does he need to try to snatch you? You are already trying to snatch, amen. We need to get out of his way so he can do his snatching, amen. God is bigger than his word, amen. We need to get a revelation of how big our God is, amen. He ain't Lorenzo. He's not Pat. He's not weak. He's God, amen. He ain't absent-minded. He don't forget nothing. He's God, amen. The only thing I've read in the word that he forget is our sins, amen. And that's because he wants to, amen. He's God. The Red Sea departed, the Jericho wall knocked down, the healing of leprosy. Whatever he wants to do, he can do it if we just believe, amen. Only believe, amen. And take your filthy hands off of it, amen. Why do I call it filthy? Because we defile what he wants to do by trying to do what he told us he was going to do. If he gave you, listen. If he gave you a word on anything, just stand on that word, amen. If he gave you a word on anything, just stand on that word, amen. It looked like if it's taking too long, reminder, Lord, you said, amen. God told me he was going to pay all of my debts. And I'm still in debt, amen. Every now and again, I tell God, you said that I will owe no man nothing. God said that he was going to make me rich. As a matter of fact, this is what he said to me recently. He said, wealth and riches are in my house. He said to me just a couple of weeks ago that I've given you wealth and riches and honor, amen. So I just reminded him what he said, amen.
Why? Because I know he's watching over his word.
Yeah.
He's watching over his word to perform what he said, not what we say, amen.
Yeah.
If it's contrary to what he said. So what are you saying? What are you thinking? Are you talking your process? Well, I think God's going to do this by next week. Because the process is, I do this, I do this, and I do that. And then he'll do that. He ain't got to work through your process. He don't have to work through my process. The only thing God is obligated to do is keep his promise. And the only way I know to get some things done is through believing what he said. I get so tired of you talking about God said he gonna make me, he gonna make you rich. Well, that's what he said, amen. And I just say what he said, amen. And when richness manifests in my life, I'm not gonna say, see that I told you something. I'm gonna say, see, God is a promise keeper, amen. And then he struck me with this. You ain't gotta save, I save. You ain't gotta invest, I invest. I can do what I wanna do in your life without you doing any of those things, amen. My pastor said, overnight God can get us out of debt, amen. No matter how much debt we're in, amen. But first, listen to me, because he has to give you a word on that. Because he's obligated to just keep his word. Did I ask him to get me out of debt? No, I'm going to get my own self out of debt. Did I ask him to make me rich? No, I'm working at making my own self rich. He came to me, and he promised me, and I'm waiting on him with faith.
Yeah.
I know I've been up too long, but I got to get God's point across.
Yeah.
My wife and I, a long time ago, we was court, we used to sing this song, Faith Can Move Mountains, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were court. Now we've been married 35 years. So some mountains got moved in order for us to get married, amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Some folks know what I'm talking about, some folks don't. But we got to stand on his word.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
That's another good one.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Thank you, sir.
Stand still and see his heaven. That's what he told Moses and the crew at the Red Sea. Stand still and see what I can do.
Yes.
You just do your part.
Yes.
The part that I tell you to do.
That's
right. Scratch out your rod. I'll do the rest.
Jesus. Hey!
Bless you,
Pastor.
Bless you.
I love the shout.
Bless you, Pastor.
But y'all want to know what I love more than the shout? And this is, you know, when I get on Facebook, I look at the church folks, and all they're doing is booking and shout, booking and shout, booking and shout. You go down to another booking and shout. I ain't got no problem with booking and shout. But I'm concerned with what the church, the body of Christ, is receiving. Are they just receiving that if you book and shout, your life going to change? You know, we used to sing this when the praises of God goes up, the blessings of God come down. Where is that in the scripture? Now we see a snippet of that with Paul and Silas when they were in jail on death row. They instead of them crying and hollering, they prayed and sang hymns, and God immediately shook up the place. And got deliverance. That's the closest thing I've seen to that in the scripture. But to teach that as a doctrine. What gets number one? I was listening to Joshua this morning. I'm very
conscious of what I say. And I have to clarify some things.
All right.
He talked about generational curses on God's folk. Ain't no generational curses on God's folks. Ain't no generational curses on God, folks. It might be a demon that's causing you some problems. Or it might be some passed down sin. But ain't no generational curses on God's folk. Jesus died and took the curses so that we could receive the blessing. Amen. And the blessing of Abraham is on our lives. Amen. So don't be fighting no generational curses because you don't have any. Amen. See, you freely and you know what you need to do is learn to walk in your freedom. Amen. So all this shouting and jumping, I'm trying to find out what in the world are these preachers teaching these folks as it relates to deliverance. Jesus said John chapter 8 verse number 31. And I'm trying my best to close. It's the Holy Ghost. It ain't nothing to me.
Ain't got nowhere to go.
Some of these folks do though, Larry. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe, say believe. He said, if you abide in my word, you are what? My disciples indeed. Listen to what he said next. Verse number 32. And you shall know the truth. And what? The truth shall make you free. It's the truth that Jesus taught. The truth that he gives us to teach. That sets us free.
Yeah.